Today on Real Radio.
We could be an Elimelech right now. We could be a weakling and a wimpy right now. Maybe God's calling you to step out in faith and you feel a little weak about that. Maybe you're letting your Christian responsibilities go along the wayside and your home is kind of getting unraveled. Be careful. Satan is out and he's checking doorknobs.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We've recently wrapped up our verse-by-verse examination of the book, and on today's program, Pastor Jack concludes his final overview of this four-chapter account in a study called Heaven, Our Home. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Boaz had the power. He had the initiative. He had the heart. He loved her. But there was another man who didn't love her, but he had the power. Remember, we don't know his name. He didn't have a name. Remember, he walked by, and it says, and it happened, he came by. And Boaz says, sit down here, my friend, old buddy, old pal. I want to talk to you a little bit. Remember how he set him up? Well, you know, Naomi's back from Moab. She's got some land, needs to be redeemed. Will you redeem it? Say so. Yeah, I'll redeem it. Remember, he said, I'll do it. Then he says, oh, yeah, there's one other thing. Good Jewish, read the fine print thing there. Those guys, hey, I'm telling you, we're doing business with some guys right now. They know how to do business. Read the fine print. The fine print is, if you take Naomi and all of her land, you got to take Ruth. Well, I can't do that. I'd mess up my own inheritance. I'd mess up my own life. Well, sorry to hear it. Well, I tell you what. I'll redeem it for you. Well, go ahead and redeem it then. Because, if I take all this and Ruth, what am I going to do with this girl? I'm supposed to raise up sons for her and her dead husband's name? Forget that. That would really mess things up in my family. Can't do it. So remember what he did? Took off his shoe. Who was that guy? He was a type of the law. Now, there's, according to typologists, there's two renderings. We'll come to the second one in a moment. But he was a type of the law. He had power, but he wasn't willing to save because he couldn't save. The law, that and I'm talking about the law of God. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments has power, but it cannot save. We covered that at length. This is a prophetic story. Can the law save you? No, it cannot. There's only one that can save you, and he loves you. Does the law love you? No, it cannot love. The law can only point. If somebody's pointing at you in your life, they're much like the law, right? Unless they love you, and they won't point, they'll come up and embrace you and help you. Boaz was there to help. Jesus never came, pointing. He came receiving. Jesus came with open arms. Jesus said, I and I alone will fulfill the law. Isn't that what he said? He says, not one jot, that is one Hebrew jot and one Hebrew tittle of its alphabet or of its language will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will never pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Jesus will fulfill the law. But how can you and I fulfill the law today? He told us. He said, you love God with all your heart. That'll keep you busy for all the days of your life. Love God with all your heart. And the second thing is, he says, why don't you love your neighbor too? If we attempt to love God with all of our hearts, we are going to be some radical people. We will be an awesome group of people. We'll be an awesome church. Why? Are you listening to this? because we are determining to love God. People, when you are not loving God, you're loving yourself. Well, what's wrong with that? Shirley MacLaine said I should do this. I know it sounds good, but the thing is, you don't have to love yourself. You already do. The Bible says no man has hated himself, but loves himself. Who was the first one you saw this morning? You wake up, you go look in the mirror. You know, do I look okay? Yeah, you check your breath. Well, if you didn't love yourself, you'd like put diapers in your mouth so you would stink. Well, I don't love myself, so I want to stink. If you didn't love yourself, you would get the worst clothes. You would go to Ross and buy the worst clothes you could find. Hey, I'm not knocking. That's where I shop. If you hated yourself, you would never change your socks. Well, how come your socks stink? Because I hate myself. I want everybody to hate me because I hate me. I hate me. I want you to hate me. No, that's not our problem. Our problem is we love us. We comfort, we take care of ourselves. We're the most important things in our minds. We're so fond of ourselves. Jesus says, you want to have a cool life, healthy, strong life? He says, forget about yourself. And boy, is that true. You forget about yourself. Isn't that, now, you tell that to the world and they'll go, this is nuts. My analyst tells me I should like take pictures of myself. No, listen, throw the pictures away. Throw the camera away. Start taking pictures, I should say, of other people. Find out what their need is. How do you love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? This is how you do it. Find out what your neighbor needs. Well, my neighbor's a bum. He's mean. You know why he's mean? It's because he needs something. His heart's broke. Well, his heart ought to be broke. Wait a minute. Come on. I know all of us have mean people in our lives. But if you know any mean people, like I do, isn't it true that they've had some very rough times in their lives, haven't they? And you and I are all upset because they're chewing on us. We need to stop taking it so personal. Find out, why do they hurt so bad? And do the Jesus thing. What would Jesus do? And we go do that thing. Well, that's radical. That's right. That's exactly it. That's exciting. There's a little book that Nancy Missler wrote called Why Should I Be the First to Change, I think. Or The Way of Agape, or Why Should I Be the First to Change? She was just getting ready to divorce Chuck Missler, her husband. Couldn't stand his guts. He had made her into a monster. She had had enough. And she woke up one morning, she looked out over her $5 million bayfront Newport Beach home with the 60-foot yacht out in front and said, you know, I don't think it's worth it anymore. And the Lord began to speak to her heart. And he came home and he was his normal away. And the good thing about it was, she said that he was only home about 2 weeks out of a month. He was in Europe most of the time working. And the Lord began to speak to her heart. And she, I mean, you got to read the book. You got to read the book. Because the Lord told her, why don't you put everything that Chuck likes, put it in the refrigerator? Why? I hate him. Yeah, that's why I want you to do this. Okay. So thank God. She listened to the Lord. She put all of his favorite stuff in the refrigerator. And she wore the favorite clothes that he likes to wear. And I think she mentioned some certain kind of thing that he liked. And there's too many young ears in here to say that. To show you how far she went to obey the Lord. And he said he was home for just a very brief moment of time, and he said, he opened up the refrigerator, he saw all of his favorite stuff, he sat down at the table, and it wasn't the utility utensils, it was the best china, just for them. And he said, he pushed back, and he said, okay, what's up? What is going on here? And she said, the Lord told me to love you like I love him. And that started to break his heart and put blood and life and air back into his soul. She, and he'll tell you, she unilaterally saved their marriage. And they're so in love. I've been to their home. I've spent time with them at their house. They're nuts. They're sickening to be around. Oh, Chucky, Chucky, Wookie. Oh, Nan, Nanny, Nan, Nan, Nan. It's like, ew. God did that. She acted like Jesus and he was one. Back to their marriage. Both of them were Christians. Find out what your neighbor needs, and in blessing them, you are literally loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's how God, that's the God we serve. You look at Boaz, and he lavished precious things upon Ruth. And the beautiful thing about it is our carnal minds are thinking, yeah, well, what does he want? He loved her. He wanted nothing but the best for her. And that's just like our Jesus. That's the God we serve. He wants you blessed. He wants you happy. He wants you joyful. He wants you to be following him. He's got great things planned for your life. It's just hard to get you to believe that if you're kicking against him and fighting him. We're talking about full surrender here, people. God's prophetic word from the book of Ruth is this: I have a plan for these Gentiles that I call the bride of Christ. It's been ordained since the world ever began. And for all eternity, Ephesians 2 tells us, for the eons, the word is eons, time upon time, eternity, epochs of time. It's the most vast word that we can find in language to describe eternity. There is no word to describe timelessness. God says, I will spend all of eternity to display to all creation, all the universe, my love for you. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you. You might be sitting here tonight saying, I don't feel very loved. You've got to wake up and see God and his love for you. You can say, well, I'm okay. My wife loves me, or my husband loves me, or my parents love me, or my... That's good. But there's a greater love. It's absolutely fantastic. And then, and we'll wrap this up, she was away at the house. He makes the transaction. He settles the deal. And the next thing, I think it's chapter 4, verse 13. It says, so Boaz took Ruth. And you might remember what that word took meant. It meant to seize her, but it was for love. As his own precious purchased possession. And remember, we covered this heavily about how wonderful it is to be owned in God's vocabulary, in God's definition, not this perverse thing of the world. The world doesn't know how to own. The world usurps authority over and didn't it, over our lives and used us and left us for broke. God scoops you up and he holds you so tight and he says, you're mine. I spilled my blood on the cross for you. I gave everything for you. I don't want anything back in return but you. And wasn't it a wonderful thing last Sunday if you were there to see the people that came forward with their hearts? I had a view that you may not have had. As they came forward, the tears flowing off their cheeks, I was overwhelmed at this. And the lines in some of their faces spoke of difficult days. And Jesus says, you come to me, you give it to me, I'll take care of that. It's incredible. So Boaz took Ruth. Why don't you grab your Bible real quick, and we'll end over here with this exciting thought. And that is in 1 Thessalonians 4, concerning Boaz taking Ruth. First Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse, let's begin at verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 says, but this we say to you by the word of the Lord. In other words, thus saith the Lord. Wow, this is a big statement. Paul is speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus says the Lord, here it is, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means proceed or go up before those who have fallen asleep or died in Jesus, died trusting in Christ. For the Lord himself, not some angel, himself, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Those who died trusting in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, this is exactly what he said back in verse 15, shall be harpazo in Greek, or raptus in Latin, or we say the word rapture. They shall be raptured. We shall be raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See this? See the order of this? And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, so get excited about it. Comfort yourselves about it. It's awesome. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 15, a little bit to the left. And we'll end with this. 1 Corinthians 15, around 50. Look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You are not going to heaven with this body. Oh, but I like it. Yeah, too bad. Can't breathe there. Won't work. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, or look, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed. Isn't that great? It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Every nursery should have that on their door. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be metamorphosed, changed. Can you imagine? Paul was expecting it to happen, by the way, to him. He says we. He didn't say those. He didn't say for those who are alive and remain. He was planning on Jesus coming back any moment. He lived like it. He didn't cave in on that hope until 2 Timothy chapter 4. He knew that he was going to die. It was revealed to him that he was going to be killed for his faith. And he said, hey, I'm going to get a crown, not only me, but all those who have loved, past tense, his appearing. Paul knew he was going to die. Can you imagine walking? Can you imagine sitting here right now? It happens. I'm telling you, I've said this before, I would love, when the rapture takes place, I would like to be walking by a graveyard. What's happening? Oh, hey, here we go. Because why? They're going to rise first. The bodies of the dead Christians. Now remember, your dead mom and dad or son or daughter or whoever who trusted in Jesus, they're with him now having a great time. Their body, their carcass, it's a carcass. It's here in the ground over at there at Rose Hills. But man, when the rapture comes, you're going to be walking by. And whoa, what's going on? And then boom, you're up there with them. And hey, what's happening here? Hey, you're meeting them in the clouds. Jesus comes back with your mom. But her body's in the ground. There's going to be a trumpet blast. Her body's going to be raised glorified. You're not going to see some whoa, ma. She's going to look awesome. You know, there's going to be a bunch of dusty old people coming out of the ground. They're going to be totally resurrected in newness of life. Their bodies are going to come up. That's how their bodies arise, and it says, meet them in the air. And we, if we are alive at the rapture, we're going to go, you're going to see bodies go this way. You're going to see we who are alive and remain caught up in the air, meet them, because Christ has come in the atmosphere. It's an appearance, not necessarily a coming. And he brings with those who died in Christ. They're alive there right now. Paul says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord right now. Isn't that great? You might have saw that poor man. I hope he knew Jesus, who was hit by the Metrolink this week, trying to run across the track and beat the Metrolink. Now, when most people, including ourselves, when we're in a very crisis situation, it's an almost a natural response to say, oh, God! Isn't that true, huh? Can you imagine? Oh, God! Yes. Right there. What? You called me. All I saw was a train headlight. Yeah, but you said, oh, God. Can you imagine in an instant to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord? Now, I know I got a letter talking about life after death thing and talking about it too much. The book of Ruth is prophetic because we have a hope that is both now and forthcoming. So where are you? Are you an Orpah? Are you a Ruth? I hope all of us are Ruths. But at any given time, we could be playing one of the actor's parts. We could be an Elimelech right now. We could be a weakling and a wimpy right now. Maybe God's calling you to step out in faith and you feel a little weak about that. Maybe you're letting your Christian responsibilities go along the wayside and your home is kind of getting unraveled. Be careful. Satan is out and he's checking doorknobs. Strengthen your home. Maybe some of you are wayward from the Lord and you need to get back. Go straight to him. Don't wait any longer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, a presentation called Heaven, Our Home, a final overview of the four-chapter narrative. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a new series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Now, quite obviously, our hope here at Real Radio is that this series has been of great benefit to you. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is not only an account of how a man and woman, one Jewish, one Gentile, fall in love and marry, but it is also valuable for many other scriptural reasons, which is why it is included in the Old Testament. So, we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll be glad to send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.